Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Another day has come. Do something new. Spirit of the living God, without you, our gathering is entertainment. Let your presence be in this place. Somebody will not leave your presence the same way they came. This morning, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed go free. Because all things are possible with you. Let the poor step into prosperity. Marco Namasi Divishata. Anoint these lips of clay and use me as a contact to reach your people. In Jesus' name. If you are born again, say amen. Please, if you have a chair, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Somebody sent me a text or email and said, why is it that you don't, when you start preaching, you don't read key scripture? So I'm going to read key scripture. In case you are that person, I'm trying to solve your problem for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, you are looking so good. The glory of God. Look at somebody and say, you are looking so good. You are looking good. You are so good. Tell them, I didn't know you were so beautiful. Tell them if I lay there and say, I've been observing you. But, and tell them, man, I didn't know you were so handsome. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is Lord. I want to salute Pastor Paul and Pastor Joe. This morning I was just thinking and praying, and I think we were late because I woke up, I finished praying, I went back to sleep again. And sometimes I think what your body go through, you just have to, hallelujah. And I think Mama Ivy should have been in the spirit to just pick me up, amen. Yes, he left me, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we want to salute you. We thank you very much for the opportunity to come and preach. Hallelujah. I believe that it's not every pulpit that you have the opportunity to preach. God will not even do it. So when God gives you that privilege, I preach here not because even I qualify. I preach here because God have mercy on me. And then this couple also have mercy on me. Hallelujah. There are people that are far better than me who could preach here. But have you ever thought about why God still loves you? You, I'm talking about you. Have you ever sit down and think about why do you still love me? Sort of looking at all your weaknesses and all your shortfalls and the crazy things we do, and still he loves us. Have you ever thought about that? Why do you still love me? Hallelujah. One day I ask the Lord, why are you still using me? Amen. Because sometimes you don't feel qualified. That is why it's dangerous to walk with God on the basis of failing. Because anytime it's failing, it's not from God. Where are the people who were here on Wednesday and Thursday? I really need you. Especially those who were here on Friday. You don't. I mean, the just shall live by faith. That is the way. But sometimes you just have to be, you want to be human being. And ask the Lord, why are you using me? That is why those with the true calling of God in their lives in the Bible, they had a certain contention with God because they didn't feel qualified. Moses told God that, why? Send somebody else. I mean, you can see a man that no miracle can even move him. I mean, the first one was a conversation, and the Lord said, okay, now, put your rod down. And that was one of the days, because God saw that this whole thing was fear. So let me kill the fear in you. And to kill the fear, when the rod turned to a serpent, he said, pick it by the tail. Now, common sense tells you that if you know a little bit about snakes, you don't pick them by the tail. So because if they quail, they are going to... So God said, don't pick it back. Pick it by the tail. So by the time Moses held the snake by the tail, fear has to leave him. Now, but still, the guy said, thank God for what you did. I appreciate it, but I'm not going. Send somebody else. Hallelujah. Now, when you see some of us preaching and Pastor Joe and Pastor Paul, don't think that it's easy. Everybody has a certain contention with God about the call of God. Yours may be, I'm not ready to go to Egypt. But all of us have something God wants us to do that we are struggling. Because we don't feel qualified. We don't. Number two, why do you send me to a place that I'm wanted? Where you say I should go, they are looking for me to kill me. This is God. You can send me to Afghanistan, but not Egypt. Go to Egypt and go to Pharaoh's palace and tell them, let my people go. Fine, send somebody else. I'm not going. Put your hand in your bosom, bring it out, leprous. Oh, wow. Put it back, it's gone. Wow, that's a miracle. Are you ready? No, I'm not going. Listen to me, let me tell you this. And you appreciate why people respond to the call of God. Do you know that Jeremiah prophesied that the Israelites are going to be in Babylon for 70 years? And after 70 years, they are going to come back. Daniel picked it by revelation and prayed. Because of Daniel's prayer, by 68 years, they were out. So they exit before the fulfillment of the word. So they came earlier than the prophetic time. Check your Bible calculation. Daniel prayed, and by 68, 69 years, they were out. Now, God gave Abraham a prophetic word. Your descendants are going to be in bondage for 400 years. And I'll bring it up. And they came out 430 years. We all have preached and we said the people didn't pray. It's a lie. They prayed. How do I know they prayed? This is God's message to Moses. I have heard the cry of my children. So they were praying. So one day I sat with the Bible for hours and I said, why did the people delay? Why this extra 30 years? He said the deliverer was not ready. That thing between God and Moses on the mountain, it lasted for 30 years. Before the guy agreed to go. So even if, I want the Friday people, where are you? Those who were here on Friday, can you give the Lord a clap of oh, yeah. Yeah. Today, yesterday, I was meditating about something. For people to respond to the call of God is one of the most difficult things. That is why God said, don't touch my anointing. Because I take them through stuff. Hallelujah. The deliverer was not ready. The people were crying. The guy to go was not ready. No. One of his excuses is that I cannot talk. And God said, who created mouth? What are you talking about? You are talking about talking. I'm the one who created mouth. I'm still not going. Now it's okay. Because you say you don't want to talk, I'm going to make you a god. And I'm going to give you a prophet. It means that you are going to have somebody that you speak on your behalf. Now, listen, this is what I said. Don't push God in a permissible way. This Aaron was one of the people that caused Moses' ministry. Moses on the mountain, the mouthpiece should still take care of the people. By the time he came, there was a golden calf. And the most insulting thing is that Israel, this is the golden calf that brought you out of Egypt. Wouldn't you be happy that when you go to any museum or something, you will see the original Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. The second one we had was Moses' handwriting. God said, I'm not going to write it again. You write it. Out of the man, he asked God to give it to him. He gave the Aaron that Moses asked God, even caused the ministry so much that up to now, we can't see God's handwriting. Could have had God's handwriting the way God writes. Moses broke it. You are too quiet on me. Let me get out of here. Hallelujah. So if you are sitting in this room and there is something you have to do for God, and this is what I notice about God, whatever God has called you to do, this one can do it. And this one can do it. So if, Pastor Paul, today you wake up and you say, I'm not going to do ministry work again. I'm just going back to IMF to go and work there as a banking specialist. Then the number of years God has trained you to do what you do, he needs the same years to train somebody. Wow. This is where the thing is. So no, we can't take the thing light. No, we can't. We can't take it for granted at all. He needs the same years. He needs the same, because he cannot anoint anybody he cannot trust. Because the gift and the callings of God are without repentance. When God gives you something, he doesn't take it back. All these foolish things about God giving, God takes. He's not the giver and the taker. Anything that is stolen in your life is the devil, it's not God. Oh, come on here. You talk to me when I finish preaching. Anything that is... Oh, no. You listen to me when I finish. God doesn't give and God doesn't take. Now, listen. This is where the problem comes from. If God gives you something because he can't take it back, he has to be careful, and he has to trust you, and he has to train you, and he has to depend on you. I'm preaching, sir. Now, this is the other side. If I give Paul an anointing, he must always stay with me for the thing to work. If you decide to get disconnected from me, I cannot take the anointing back, but it will be corrupted. And once it gets corrupted, it will be used against the man that gave it to you. So he couldn't take the power back from the devil, but it has been corrupted. Because the gift and the callings of God, they are without repentance. Don't worry, I will not keep you long. We'll close very soon. The way you are quiet, I see that I'm not the only one who is hungry. A lot of people are also hungry. How many of you are listening to what I'm talking about?
Yes.
30 years. The one that happened at the Mount Sinai, where the bush was burning. You read it, you think it's 5 minutes.
Yes, true.
I'm not going. I'm not. God will come back and beg. I'm not going. Send somebody else. I won't go. 1 year, 2 years. And they stay for 30 years. So did God lie? No. Because he said 400. Why did they come at 430? So even when God is ready and the deliverer is not ready, there is still a problem.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing that when God wanted to speak to the house of Cornelius, he has to send Peter. Now, an angel went to Cornelius' house and told Cornelius that sent men to Joppa. It means that even angel cannot preach what we can preach.
Amen.
If the angels can preach, then that angel that went to Cornelius should have delivered the message.
Yes.
He can't. I said we should open to something. Eh? Jesus. The person, forgive me, we are going to read now. Wait. Chapter what? Did I give you a chapter? I didn't give you a chapter. Jesus. I said chapter 11. But somebody say 11. Who is that? Okay, let's go to chapter 11. Junior is a prophet now. Are you sure I didn't give you a chapter? Because I have 11 on my... I have 11. Wow. Let's go there. Find yourself a verse and let's read. Somebody say, if I know this is a preacher, I wouldn't have come to church. You are here and you can't go. You have to wait till I finish preaching. Even if you don't like me, you are listening to me. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't say, I don't like the pilot, so I'm getting out of the plane. You know, I met a foolish man. I met a foolish man somewhere, and he believes in all kinds of juju power. Eh? And he told me, he met me, he said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. Oh, you people don't have power. So I said, why? He said, oh, you see, this is my ring. He said, yes, it's okay. If I'm going to sit in a bus, and the bus is going to have an accident, the ring will become hot. It means I must get down. Then I thought about it. I said, okay. Do you fly? He said, yes, okay. Go and sit in British Airways. Once you are there, then the ring becomes hot. Tell the pilot, I want to get down. You see how foolish the devil can operate with people. Give the Lord a clap of it. That's a good one. Wisdom is too high for the fool. So you are in a plane. In a hall. No problem. All the flight attendants have to do is that they just open the door a little bit, get down, and then we continue because you are not going down. So you get down. I told him, stop following the devil. There's nothing he can do for you. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. And faith is the substance of things you hope for. It's the evidence of things you don't see. For by it, instead of the word it, put faith there. So, for by faith, the elders obtain good report. Now, the reason why I'm reading this scripture is that everything I'm preaching today, if you don't open your spirit up to faith, you cannot get the benefit of it. Everything I've preached from Wednesday, you can only dissect it by faith. Now, if you don't have faith, God cannot reach you. We have to understand that as a principle in church. Because this generation is becoming so scientific that we are forgotten about faith. And anytime you become too... Let me tell you something. There is one dangerous character about God. If God is coming to your house, he must have the conviction that you are only believing him what you are looking for. If he sends you have alternative, you will turn back. Good one. Now, one day I asked him about why that nature. Do you believe I am able to do this? When you say yes, then he said, according to your faith. If there is any message preaching need, it's faith. Because you are too much dependent on your abilities. Look at somebody and say, he's talking about you. Tell the person. And when he say that, ask him, what about you? You are too much dependent on your abilities. You see, when you come to Africa, the poverty and the lack of scientific whatever all the, because sometimes we don't have some of the benefit of the things you have, and that is, I'm just being honest. Ghana is going through a power crisis, and sometimes our dam system, because when Burkina Faso did their dam, it's the same river, so it affected the flow of the water. So it's like we are having problems, and I was praying to God, and I was asking God to give us electric train. So you are asking for what? Do you have electricity in your bedroom? You don't have the thing in your bedroom, and you are asking for train. Now, this is what it is. Because of the reason there is a revival in Africa is because the only thing now we have is God. Now you have so much alternative that you are losing God.
You didn't start this way. You started from somewhere. But along the line, you have come to the place to think that you don't need him again. Today, I'm preaching as a prophet. Because I'm going to wake you up. I have seen, Bishop Tini just told me he was in Kenya and somebody have to do cesarean without anesthesis. Oh, you cannot feel it. The men don't know what I'm talking about. I saw the woman. But that is what the doctor said. This is the problem. You need 10 minutes to get this baby out. There is no anesthesis in the hospital. Are you ready? I'm ready. Did bring the baby out? I love the way you say, Lord. Now, what do you do when the things that make you comfortable are not available? The lady said, I prayed. And the doctor's card, they will ask her, do you feel the pain? He said, no. Now, according to Bishop Tidiches, he preached in the church that the lady attends, and that was a testimony. This is not the way you started. Part of the reason why we were late is that there are so many tourists that a lot of buses are blocked away. Thank God for Ankijo, who had to know how to maneuver his way. Because sometimes we just calculate that Ankijo. I say, no, it took us 20 minutes to get here the other time. And today is Sunday. It will take us 15 minutes, so don't worry. And I saw tourists. Sunday morning. You don't see tourists in Ghana on Sunday. To what? It depends on where you live. There are certain environments you live. If on Sunday you are not going to church, you look odd. Oh, you better clap for my country. You look odd. Oh, yeah. I didn't start like this. In John Wesley's time, everybody walking in the street of Britain is almost born again. This is the country that sent the gospel to Africa. That's why I told all that people, you owe these people prayer. I said, it's total insanity for you people to pray and not remember Britain. Because some of the people that brought the gospel to you, I've started studying about church history for about 2 years. And the Lord says, study it so that you will know the people that have sowed the seed in your life. Wow. There is a saying in Africa that when your mother takes care of you for you to have teeth, how do they put it? I don't know how to put it in British English. It's like everybody is born, you don't have a teeth, and then you start teething. You have to also, I don't like it because they say you have to take care of your mother to also lose all his teeth. But how do you want to lose your teeth before you die? It's a very crazy African proverb. It's like, your mother took care of you for your teeth to come, so you have to take care of her for her to lose her teeth. Because by the time you lose your teeth, you start becoming like, you look like a witch. Hallelujah. I mean, it's only witches who don't have teeth. God remove their teeth so that they'll stop eating human flesh. No, but that's what it is. Hallelujah. So I told them, I said, pray for them because they sent it. Apostasy is dangerous. Listen to me. If you can't get everything I preach here, don't forget this one. It is not going to be possible to say true without God. In your finances, in your marriage, in everything. So don't think that you don't have to come to church to satisfy your religious conscience. You don't have to come to church as if you are doing Pastor Paul a favor. That kind of Christianity is past. Sunday, go to Greece, referendum. It's there. They don't even, when I was listening to them on the radio, some people don't even understand the whole system about the voting. You can say no, no, yes, yes, yes. For instance, in Africa, they can vote for you because you are handsome. Yes, we used to have a president, Rawlings. People voted for him. You ask him why? He said, the man is so handsome. Papa, papa, they vote for him. They don't listen to anything. There are people like that. Look at someone and say, you are a suspect. You look like those people. They can do that. People don't understand. But are you telling, it's not IMF. It's not economic system. Everybody saying there is no money. Where is the money? This earth, somebody owns it. Look at where we have come to now. Look at us. Some of the sins that make God send fire and brimstone, we are legalizing it. And you are sitting in church and you think it's to satisfy your religious conscience. Hell is swallowing lives. The Lord just told somebody, wish he didn't come to church. Today you love to come to church again. That is what it is. Slap somebody by the shoulder and say, let's wake up. Let's wake up. Wake up. We are sleeping. Some of you, as a result of the contention with God, the deliverance is delaying. 30 years, Moses and God. I'll go. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 30 years. God didn't say 430, he said 400. So the fact that God has spoken the prophetic word does not mean automatically to come to pass. Don't ever sit in church and get a prophecy and think that the manifestation is automatic. Paul told Timothy, by the prophecy that has come upon you, thou mightest by them war a good warfare. If you don't war with it, Satan will stop the manifestation. Oh, yes. So whatever God has called harvest to do, if you don't war. Every spirit surrounding this auditorium is antichrist. Everything in this territory. When you are driving, you could feel it. Hallelujah. It's there. You can't come to church to satisfy your religious conscience. You are happy. No. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. It's not. All the economic systems in there. And I ask him a question. Why this economic system? And look at his answer. I suspect these people. Let me find them. If you cry, you are worse. Lord, why? America. I told the Ghanaian, say, if America says they don't have money, Ghana should fast and pray. If Britain is complaining about the economy, Nigeria should be in 40 days fasting. Because if the rich says they are broke, what is happening to the broke? This is what we call the rarities of life. This is the sad thing. And let me tell you another, before I tell you what I have to tell you, let me tell you this one. The picture tomorrow without Christ doesn't look good for our children. So it's not just about you. The reason you must pray is that this world might become a better place because of your son. Why? There is no money. Why are we going through the things we are going through? America is complaining. Britain is complaining. Oh, Europe is complaining. Thank God Britain didn't join the European Union and whatever. Change your currency. Yeah? Change it. Thank God you didn't go to the euro. It's good. Maybe God still have some eyes on Britain. Because you see, if man concoct it and God is not behind it, it will crash. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. So if it's not from the Lord, it will crash along the way. I asked him a question. Why the economic system? Look at his answer. It's to the advantage of the righteous. No, wait a minute. It's to the advantage of who? The righteous. It's not to the advantage of the church goer. So before you clap, let me qualify it. Oh, I see they are quiet now. It's not to the advantage of registering your name in the church. It's to the advantage of those who have right standing. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. And you can stand before the master, and the devil cannot confuse you, because you know who you are in Christ. Oh, give the Lord some clap and shout. Don't look at me, because I'm preaching. And don't look at me some way. The ability, so it's not, you can be in service and not be in function. So you can sit in harvest and you don't contribute anything to the church. You can sit here. So I didn't say it's to the advantage. No, no. Yesterday, God showed me something that frightens me. No. He said, when I get ready to come, if it's two people that is ready, I'll take them. I'm not looking for numbers. I said, why? He said, remember, in Noah's time, I killed everybody and left eight. Eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank God for the ladies who became the boyfriend of Noah's sons. Be careful where you choose your boyfriend. What saved them was that they had the boyfriends. Oh, sorry, which one? Noah has sons. Noah has sons or daughters. Oh, yes, the girls. Forgive me. So thank God they became the girlfriends of Noah's sons. Am I the first one to preach and say something wrong? A pastor even quote, there was a pastor whose wife threatened him. You today, I'm going to disgrace you in the church. Foolish man. Who said you are called of God? I will deal with you. You are talking to young girls. You wait. The pastor was preaching like this. In the middle of preaching, the wife opened the back door coming. The man saw his wife. He said, open to Abraham chapter 2. Oh, the decision. Pastor, are you okay? He said, what did I say? Let's go to Jacob chapter 6. Confusion in the church. That is better than, mine is better than Abraham chapter 2. By the time a pastor quote Abraham chapter 2, you are off. If you are in Church of Pentecost, you are fired. Thank God they became what? The boyfriends of what? Noah's sons. They could have died. Because those guys, those ladies said their parents died. Died! The water was the economic system. Now, let me tell you why you don't have to take the church for granted. The water was the economic system. And God moved the economic system such a way that going to stand in Mount Everest does not mean you have escaped. The water is coming there. Your Bible said everything was covered by water. The only thing that rise above the economy was the ark. And the ark was the church at that time. Yes. So the only thing that will rise above this economy. Oh, those who are going to prosper, they are shouting. Those who are going to make some money, they are screaming. Those who understand Rhema, they are crying. Those who understand it, they are worshiping the Lord. Yes, I am the Lord that giveth thee power. So without that enablement, you will struggle. Yes. Wow. Listen to this African boy. I understand some things. Hallelujah. Amen. I was telling our church, it becomes a curse on you to think that a party must come to power for you to make it. Putting your trust in politicians, your curse is serious. I've seen politicians come to power very slim. 2 weeks, they become fat. Very, very slim. 2 weeks, they become fat. 2 weeks. I was in Nigeria preaching some time ago, and I saw something on the front page, and the judge, his pedicle has removed, and the cameraman picked it at the spot. And there was an action. And the reason for that front page is that there was a governor who was a governor for 100 days and stole 100 million pounds. So one day, 1 million. It's a lot of money in Nigeria, Pastor Paul.
Jesus Christ.
When I was working in Nigeria, the Lord said, the money in this country can take care of the whole Africa and make them be like America. When selfishness is in the money, it becomes a curse. The money in Nigeria is in the hands of 0.05%. That is the people handling the money. Some of them have it in excess, and others are struggling for what to eat.
I like the way you are looking at me, all the Nigerians.
How do you want me to say it? One of the most difficult things about the kingdom is when God is preaching truth. Truth is too difficult to swallow. But you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Can do nothing against it. The lies will keep you in bondage. You shall know the truth. No matter how bitter it is, swallow it. Because that's the only thing that will set you free. No, know the truth. Know the truth about how to live with your wife. You'll be free. Husband, love your wife. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. No. Wife, submit to your husband, even if your salary is bigger than him. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. No, no, no. You can't. Once that cycle breaks, you don't have marriage, you have roommate. Love your wife. It's a command. Wow, Lord, you are very quiet on me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah. Wow. Come back to Christ. Come back. Come back. It is to the advantage of the righteous. And this is what I saw that saw people say, as the water increases, Noah's ark floated above. As the economy rises, the church will rise above the economy. Hey, girl, God bless Abraham. Until God bless Isaac in time of famine. Explain why somebody can sow in famine and reap a hundredfold.
Yes.
Supernatural. Yes. And Isaac sowed in famine. And the man was great and went forward and was great until he became very great. Explain. In famine. No rain, no sun, no drizzling, no nothing. And crops and maize and cut and groundnut were growing, multiplying. Wow. And sitting here thinking you can make it by your hard working. Since you have been working hard for 30 years, what have you produced? If you don't depend on God, oh, Jesus Christ, tell people in God, I said, depend on him. That's why I'm preaching. Go and get yesterday's, is it Thursday or something tape? Get it. Violent faith, violent prayer, violent giving. To go and take your only son to Mount Moriah to go and kill him, that is a violent giving. To have the last meal to eat and give it to a prophet is a violent giving. I have the last meal to eat and my son to die. I said, go and do for me first. I said, that's a wicked prophet. And whilst he's cooking the cake, when there was famine for 303.5 years, there was cake party in the house. The only person that was looking good is that widow and his son and Elijah. Right. Everybody was slain, including Ahab. Jezebel couldn't make up. What face are you going to use to do the makeups? You are hungry. You are lame. You can't. That is the only house that there was cake party. If God visits you, Pastor Paul, let me tell you, it is not even about the presence of God in your house, about your attitude. The Ark of the Covenant was in somebody's house for over 3 years. It came to Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the president heard about it. He said, go and see Obed-Edom. The guy is building mansions. The guy is building that 3 months, and Obed-Edom is now the brigade of his country. But the ark left somebody's house, and the guy didn't experience any encounter.
Wow.
Check your heart. Check your heart. Because when David was going to bring the ark, and Uzzah was trying to support God, and God smote him, David was afraid and left the ark in Obed-Edom's house. 3 months. 6 months, the guy was a multi-millionaire. The Bible said, and Obed-Edom and his house was blessed because of the ark. Later, I checked something. I was trying to find out, and I saw that the guy was a worshiper.
Wow.
It is not for today's message. I just have to bring it in. So, Obed-Edom has a certain attitude towards God. He acknowledged the presence in his house. He noticed God is in my house. He woke up and said, good morning, I worship you. Thank you for being here. And that other people see it as a da. How do you take the presence of God? How? How? In our church, I train people. Everybody must have an altar in your house. What do you mean by altar? Raise an altar of prayer. An altar of prayer is a particular place you pray. Anytime you step there, God meets you. So once you step there, you start praying, the presence of God comes. Because you have created that place as a secret prayer altar for God. God doesn't meet people everywhere. Moses tell them that meeting you at the tabernacle. He doesn't meet people just everywhere. He has a place of meeting people. So when you come here, it's not your bedroom. This is where God has chosen. Your attitude in church must change.
Amen.
Don't come here and sit with pride. Sit with humility.
Yeah.
Sit with humility. Because this is a very frightening scripture. Without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ. What about if you decide not to strengthen you? What can you accomplish? I like the way you are quiet. I was telling you. That is why Africa, we are praying. When you declare a fast, people come and thank you. Say, oh, thank you, daddy. Bless you. Even this week, what you eat is a problem. So the way you have declared a fast is sauce. You see them praying. And sometimes those people, after 1 year, you see them bring a car for dedication. That is why I know that this thing about prayer, it works. This thing about, I mean, absolute dependence on him. I have to say, I say, if God can't do it, let no man try. If God can't do it, who is going to try it? Come back to God. I'm not saying don't work. Depend on God for your work. Depend on God for your marriage. I can only love my wife based on the background I'm coming from, by depending on God. Because my background is rough. What did I say? It's what? It's rough. I went to some place. The people told me, they said, here in the night, witches fly. I said, oh, where I come from, you don't need night. They fly in the day. Night is normal. It's normal. No, listen, I was doing my national service in Volta region. A lady was going somewhere and 3 vultures started using their feathers to beat her. She became a cripple. That was afternoon. So midnight, if they beat you in afternoon, midnight, what will happen? So don't talk about those kind of things. And let me tell you something. When we talk about witchcraft in our place there, it is sorcery and divination here. The fetish in our place, they wear raffia. Is that what they call raffia? Raffia skirt. Yours wears suit. They wear what do we call it? Suit. So your own, they have moved from analog to digital. And it becomes dangerous for you to deal with them. You see them. If you see all the Freemason people, they are all fetish priests in a suit. And in case you are one, I'm telling you. If you won't, let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. Don't forget this one. Don't ever trust anybody. Don't ever trust anybody who claim, I don't go to church and I don't believe anything. It's a lie. The way God created us, he put a certain mechanism in us that is always looking for something to worship. It is in us. It is in us. It is in us. If you don't channel it to worship the omnipotent God, you will still find something to worship. Because it's in you. So if you are not going to church, you are still worshiping something. If somebody is sitting by you and is very quiet, suspect them. Worshiping something. That's what it is. God put a mechanism in that is looking for something to worship, man of God. So you must tell it to worship the Lord. Amen. So it's the same. The devil only changes his name. Depends on the environment he found himself. As I travel all over the world, South America, North America, Asia, when demons are manifesting, they are the same. If you see a lustful demon, the way they manifest in Ghana, that's the same way they manifest in South Korea. Yeah. Wow. Look at somebody and tell them you can't make it without God. Tell them you can't. The troubles will increase. It will be too much. Hallelujah. Don't come to church to please God. That's what I'm telling you. I have to marry her depending on God. No. Because I come from a background that every house is built by a man, according to the book of Hebrews. But the one that builds everything is God. It means that a house is built by a man. Eh? Now, one of the things you don't like in the Bible, you don't like, is when you start reading the Bible and you hear, this begat this, this begat this, this begat this. How many of you have been jumping that particular place? Oh, give me a wave. All the sincere people. Bless you. Thank you. Today, I'm going to let you love it. No. Everything in the Bible has a certain message to everybody. Especially if you come from Africa, you must read that in 10 times every day. Depends on where you come from. Hallelujah. Because it gives you a certain message. Eh? For instance, let me take you to the book of Genesis. Give me Genesis. Chapter number 10. Give me verse 11. Let me show them something. I'm going to show you something. Hallelujah. If you are sitting by your wife, squeeze her a little bit by your side. Squeeze. Don't squeeze somebody's wife. Oh. If you are not sitting by your wife, squeeze your chair. Give me Genesis 11. Rather, 11:10. Give me chapter 11, verse 10. What did I say? Are you sure? You didn't hear it well. Now, Moses, you remember I was talking about the guy, and I detour a little bit. His name is Noah. Hallelujah. So when God, do you know that the Garden of Eden God destroyed after the flood? I've never thought about it. The Garden of Eden is not in heaven, it's on earth. But the flood messed up everything. You never thought about it, but it's there. Because the flood, whatever the garden, don't tell me the garden is in the air. The garden is on earth. Where is the garden now? I believe it's somewhere around Jerusalem. I believe it. I'm trying to go into the depth of it and find it. But the flood messed everything up. So even the tree of life, all of them got destroyed. Because by the time the flood subsided, everything on earth got destroyed. The only person left, wow, was Noah and his son. Now, Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I don't want to talk about the descendants, but I'm going to show you. Because of we Christians, there are two sides of the Jewish people. We have the Jewish people who are now in Israel as a Jew. That is the natural Jew. And we have the spiritual Jews, which is you. Watch this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hang on the tree. That the blessings of Abraham will come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So we become adopted Jewish through Christ. Now, watch this. So, there are two sides of Abraham. The natural Jews and the spiritual ones. So, the Jewish man born in Jerusalem doesn't need salvation to prosper. But you will need Christ to prosper. That the blessings of Abraham will come on the Gentiles through Christ. So, outside Christ, everything you have, you call prosperity, is fake. It's just temporary. You mix it, you lose it with time. The only prosperity that will stay is the one that comes through Christ. Now, so let's do some a little bit of analysis here. And so, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, God trapped Abraham through this guy called Shem. So now, these are the generations of Shem. This is what you don't like to read. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad. In fact, some of the names I'm going to mention, in case you are now going to have children, they are very good names for your sons and daughters. Now, Arphaxad, 2 years after the flood. Go to the next verse, honey, if you don't mind. Let's go with me. Next verse. Britain computer should be faster than Ghana one, so quick. Oh, Jesus. The computer has freeze. And Arphaxad lived 5 and 30 years. How many? 35. You know, Noah, next generation is Shem. The next after Shem is called this guy called what? How do you pronounce it in a British accent? Arphaxad. Now, you know something about pronunciation? Some of the tongue we have, we can't tend to say things the way you say it. No, we can't tell you. So don't come. I was in America and I told them, I said, hey. I was preaching. They were like, I said, hey. Shh. You people act movies and we'll speak rah, 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 and we'll bring it to Africa. And we strain our ears to hear. You better strain and listen to me. You see, no, now that I'm going to speak in slangs. I refuse to speak slangs. I was not born where they speak slangs. Even where I come from, the L and the R, the pronunciation is very difficult. Don't say bra, say bra. Made it bled. Don't tell me. So I told them and they were like, oh, I said, yeah, sit down. It's God's word. So for instance, if you see an Indian man speaking English, you know he comes from India. Straight. Because the tongue cannot turn. So I refuse to say the way Pastor Paul said it. It's called Arphaxad. And this one is even close to the British one. Now, and Arphaxad lived 5 and 30 years and begat Sarah. Watch this. Go to the next verse. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Sarah 400. These guys can grow. Can you imagine you marry a man for 400 years? Jesus. 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Let's see the next generation. Remember the 35. Everyone say 35. And Sarah lived 30 years and begat Eber. So Arphaxad married 35. Sarah married. Oh, this guy has jumped. How do you pronounce this one? Sala. Okay. So this one is good. Sala lived 30 years and the guy was established. Because by 30 years, he has already begat. So wedding, engagement, everything take place. The guy is established. Live in Westminster. He's doing well. Hello? So 35 years. Now let's go there. Let's go down. Sala. And Sala lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, if you check the Bible, the only one they emphasize and give attention to is the firstborn. Because if that one make it, the rest will make it. I'll come to that in a minute. Give attention to your first children. If there's anyone the devil is looking for, it's that one. It's another message. Not for today. Next time when I come, I'll show you. You need to give them attention. My brothers have never struggled to make it because I've made it. By the grace of God. Because of what I have. None of them. I have 3 brothers behind me. One of them work with the U.S. Embassy. One is a lecturer. The 2 of them are lecturers. All of them have built their house. They are living well. Nobody is chasing me with witchcraft. If you have 7 brothers and 1 make it and the 3 is broke, they will use witchcraft to bring you down. That's why the Lord said, anything that opened the womb is mine. Give it to me. One occasion, I saw them come around and they gave me an envelope. So we just decided to contribute and sow it into your life. Pray for us. I said, wow, that's a blessing. If they don't have anything, they will pursue you, pursue your wife, pursue everything. Some of you better pray because some of the prayers your people are praying there. Because those who have never been to Britain, they think that when you open your mouth, only comes. One day, we were praying somewhere, one girl was praying. Jesus, my sister in Britain, who doesn't send me money? Lord, send tender. So some of you, tender is pursuing you. You better send money. Because some of them, Lord, I pray that she will never sleep until you send me money. Because if they have never traveled before, they have a different perception about what is pretty. Some of them maybe have more advantage to make it more than you make it. But there's a perception. Now we are preaching it. It's changing. There was a time you used to go to British High Commission. There was a queue. Now nobody goes there. Because I told them, if God is not sending you here, you have no business here. There is a reason you are born at the time you are born, and stay in your country until God gives you the opportunity. And I'm telling them, I said that, okay, let me see another thing I'm defending you on. I said, okay, I know you heard your sister takes £2,000. And you have put that £2,000 on fire. Melt it. When we say melt it, change it into the Ghana cedis. And when you melt it to the Ghana cedis, it has come with a certain figure. I said, okay, that 2,000 cedis that you have melted, you think your sister has money. He is not living in the economy of Ghana. He's living in the economy of Britain. And when you are in Britain, by the time you take the 2,000, rent takes 700. Gas takes 200. Car takes 500. So your sister is left with £400. And that's why your sister is not even paying tithe. Slap somebody and say, you look like what the prophet said, you look like. Tell them. No, so we have to explain, because wisdom is too high. Some of them has a certain funny perception. And they are throwing all kinds of what we call soulish prayer. Giving the devil ammunitions. Some of them not necessarily blah, 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 but your auntie's children. Who think that you have to come and pick them to Britain? Have no education, can't even speak English, but they want to come to Britain. Even we that can speak it some more, we are finding it difficult to pronounce alphas. What about you that cannot speak anything? What are you going to pronounce here? So I'm telling them, come to our church, we are preaching it. If God sent you, go. Oh, there's an opportunity for you to go and further your course. Go. Those who came through education did their medicine or pharmacies. When I heard Obama saying that, don't train the people and send them back. So America is, now all the medical doctors and things, they want to keep them. I hear one of Obama's top medical doctors is a Ghanaian. Yeah. You know, Professor Mel's sister, the leader of my protocol, he has two sons. All of them, they did medicine in America. Now, the guys are not coming back. The guy finished school, they give him estate, they give him a certain salary, they bought him a car. You won't come, because if you come to Ghana, you use a motorbike. So who want to come there and do what? No, because Obama said that one of the problems in America is that all the people that are attacking you, you train them. Yes, you have never thought about it. Bin Laden was trained by the Americans. Check the history. The guys who went to the World Trade Center, they went to flight training school in Atlanta. They say they only want to take off. They don't want to land. And they train there. No, go and check this thing. They are there. These are informations. You can get them. How can you go to a flight school and say, you, what kind of plane take off and doesn't want to land? And they train there. Train there. Without God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. And so now they are keeping them. So we are telling them. I said, stay here. Pastor Paul, let me tell you one foolish thing they do. Some of them can work, accumulate money, get £10,000, and give it to a connection man to work a visa for them to come to Britain. And I tell them that if you change £10,000 to Ghana cedis and you start a business and you listen to my preaching and you pray the way I'm directing you to pray, because God will always tell you that despise not the years of small beginnings. Everything big started small. Come on here and preach. Ta-da! I love it. You can send me anywhere. I can't have a church anywhere in any country. I love Ghana. I believe I'm called for Ghana. That's what it is. I am called to pray until Ghana become like South Korea. That is what Dr. Young Cho told me. Dr. Cho said that go and pray until something happens. We are fasting and praying until we see Ghana change and become a better place. Because revival means change for the better. Anytime revival comes, even the economic situation changes. Now, let me tell you this. Maybe you don't know. 55 to 60 years ago, Ghana was richer than South Korea. Ghana gave South Korea £2 million in support of the economy. When Dr. Yonggi Cho came to our place to do program, he stood up in our Independence Square and thanked us. At that time, they were living in thatch buildings. And that was the time God raised Cho. And he started fasting and praying. Now, South Korea is among probably the first 40 richest countries in the world. Easily. Americans are buying their cars more than their cars have dominated Ghana. Everywhere, even here, it's there. Moving around. Prayer. For the past over 40 years, they would do the budget of the country, put it in the altar, and 1 million people lift their voice in prayer.
Wow.
They show me that. I like the way British people are quiet. That's why I say I'm waking you up.
Amen.
If you are close to David Cameron, tell him they can't make it by their senses.
Amen.
They will need God.
Right.
So get the churches. When Obasanjo started going to all night in Redeem Camp, and Good Luck started going to all night, this is the time Nigeria did election and went through very peaceful transition. Prayer was invested in the thing. The people that do know their God shall be strong. And they will do exploits. So can you imagine when Britain finished their budget? They called all night. You see, by the time 1 million people's prayer is ascending to heaven, it's dangerous. Corporate prayer like that. No wonder. Apple is threatened by Samsung. I'm telling you. I was in South Korea. Even their internet is faster than normal. It's too fast. And everywhere on the street, you still get Wi-Fi. Is there? It's free on the street. As you are walking. Wi-Fi. Here, even hotel, you can't get it. You can't get it. The one you pay for cry, it will be slow. It will go. Now they make it speed, high speed. Between the speed and the high speed, £5. The people are just blessed. The first three largest churches in the world are in Korea, South Korea. The second largest church in the world is a Presbyterian church in South Korea, 600,000 assembly. Now, when you go to Dr. Cho's church, they do services from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the two-hour interval. Now, this is how the church is a five-story building. Every story, you sit down. Now, when we close church, you need 5 minutes to get a seat. You didn't understand what I said. The exit, so this row, the exit through this place. Whilst you are exiting, other ones are sitting down. By 10 minutes, all the elevators shut down. It means I wait for the next service. Revival. You will love God in that atmosphere. One of the things I saw that broke me was the usher for the next service. You see them hold their hands in the compound and they are praying. Ushers are praying here. Choristers are praying here. Protocol is praying here. Video is praying here. And then once they take, the next service people take over and they are praying. So you don't have canal ushers. Ma. The ushers will chase me out of the auditorium, but I'm still preaching. You don't have canal ushers. You don't have things like that. You don't have them. Everybody in the spirit. Miss Christianity, you see Jesus in there. The love and the demonstration. Everybody in that. When I went to the church, everybody is smiling. Their faces are so like your face. But since you sit in church, you are not smiling. You are just there. Everybody smiling. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at someone say, give me a smile. Your face is too hard. Tell them, smile. I want to see you smile. Smile. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Oh, may the Lord send revival. The very soon harvest as others are exiting, others are coming. Revival! Love it!